know, as a little kid, I remember laying in my backyard or laying out in the middle of the fields, looking up at the sky and looking at all the shapes up there. And, you know, you would imagine, okay, this is an elephant, and then it would turn into maybe a giraffe, and then it would eventually turn into a donkey, and then maybe a little baby, and then who knows what. You know, another natural wonder that we enjoy often is fire. I mean, sitting around a campfire is enjoyable to do. Maybe just a little bit of a chill in the air, and you have a campfire there, and you're around with a bunch of your friends, and maybe somebody's got a guitar out, and you're singing some tunes and roasting marshmallows and a couple of hot dogs, maybe. You know, these wonders are great. I mean, they're fantastic to watch. But they also have their destructive side. You know, when you look at clouds and they can look very angry, and you can have lightning come out of them, and you can have hail, and they can kind of give you the idea that in the future there might be a lot of wind coming and a lot of rain. Then you have wildfires where fire destroys so much, like in Texas. Not that long ago, we had these fires that were huge and destroyed so much. But what would it be like if your survival depended upon a cloud? What would it be like if your survival depended upon following a pillar of fire? You know, I'd like to take a look at this today, the pillar of cloud and of fire that Israel followed when they left Egypt, as they came out of Egypt and spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They were following this pillar of cloud and of fire. And I'd like to take a look at that today and kind of get a little bit better understanding of that Exodus story and the cloud of fire and of or the cloud of fire and the cloud, the pillar of cloud. And then take a look at some of its meaning and some of the blessings that came from that cloud. And then ask kind of a question at the end is, are we missing some signs today? So the title of my sermon today is A Pillar in the Wilderness. A Pillar in the Wilderness. You know, let's first take a look at the story in Exodus. We'll go to Exodus 13. We are getting very close to the anniversary of Israel coming out of Egypt. Exodus 13, we'll begin in verse 17. And we'll read about this incredible story of Israel's exit from Egypt. And as God shepherded them out of Egypt to the promised land, we'll learn some spiritual lessons, hopefully, from this. You know, when you think of the fantastic stories of the Bible, we often think of Daniel in the lion's den and Noah in the ark. Some other ones too, you know, the Jericho and the walls falling down and Joshua. But I'm sure we always think also of the Exodus, the plagues and Israel coming out of Egypt and the waters parting and Israel walking through it. So let's go ahead and take a look at God's love and power and leadership and even humor that's part of this Exodus from Egypt. Exodus 13, verse 17, it says, "Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." So God understood Israel and wanted to treat her in a manner that wouldn't cause them issues, wouldn't bring them into warfare right away. Verse 18, "So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt." And then in verse 20 it says, "So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness." So Israel is journeying out of Egypt. And during these 7 days of unleavened bread, They're journeying. They're on their journey out of Egypt from the Passover to when they go through the Red Sea. And on the last day of unleavened bread, they are at the edge of that Red Sea. Now, we drop down to verse 21, we see a miracle happen. Now, they had already seen miracles happen in Egypt. The plagues, they were all miracles. But God continues to use nature in a miraculous way. Verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them. So we see here, just as Israel's coming out of Egypt already, God has this pillar of cloud there leading the way. And by night, in the pillar of fire to give them light, so as they go by day and night. So they could actually travel during the day and at night because of this. Verse 22, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before his people. It's this pillar I want to focus on today, because this pillar has a message to it. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God was leading Israel personally by this cloud. But you know, God led them and trapped them. He trapped them against the Red Sea. You know, God had to lead them because, you know, they weren't world travelers like we are. They didn't have GPS. They didn't have maps. Israel was coming out. They had been basically in Egypt for all their lives. They didn't get a chance to be able to be world travelers like we are, to be able to hop in your car or on a plane and be long distances in a short time. But God was leading them through this cloud. Now if we go to chapter 14, verse 1, we continue with that journey. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Haroth, before Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his armies, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Israel did so. They followed the pillar, and God led them out of Egypt. And by the time they reached the sea, they had walked 6 days with this cloud leading them. It appears that the Egyptians weren't coming against them yet, because it wasn't until Pharaoh saw that they were closed in that he apparently decides to pursue them. But Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he comes out with this vast army, 600 of Pharaoh's very best chariots. You know, Josephus seems to indicate that there were probably at least 200,000 warriors that came out with them in that army. It was a vast, huge army against this young nation of Israel. They didn't have an army. They built things. They made bricks. They had no way of fighting against this vast army. You know, but they did see the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire leading them. And as they get backed up against the shores of the Red Sea, we see one of Israel's traits come out. Complaining. Seemed like they always were complaining. Verse 9, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of the Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea besides Pi-Haroth, before Baal Zephon. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They cried out. I mean, here you've got this pillar leading them, and yet they feel beaten already. They cry out to the Lord for help. No, let's look at it. Verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? I told you so, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. This pillar is there in front of them. And yet they don't see what the pillar means to them. They begin complaining. But then Moses intervenes and reassures them in verse 13. He says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. In verse 14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So God was going to fight for them. Now he's got this pillar of fire and cloud that's been leading them out. And then God goes into action. Verse 19 says, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel, that's talking about that pillar, moved and went before them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them, or went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Verse 20, so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all night long. So God's protection of Israel starts with this pillar of fire and cloud. Light on one side, darkness on the other side. People on the light side that had the fire were able to see what they needed to do, were able to watch what was happening, whereas on the dark side, Egypt couldn't see how to prepare for war. Now, did you notice in verse 19 that angel of God, that angel is capitalized? Many think, and even in other areas we can read and find out, that this is probably Jesus Christ, the angel of God. That cloud and that pillar separated Israel from one another. Israel had light. The Egyptians had darkness. Israel would have felt secure. The Egyptians would have wondered what was happening. Remember, one of the plagues was darkness. This could have been foreboding to them of the doom to come. And all night long, that separation occurred. And during this time, Moses stretches out his arms over the Red Sea, and the water starts piling up, and the wind begins to blow. And there becomes a walkway through the Red Sea for them to escape. You know, we often think maybe that area that they walked on was pretty small. You know, when you look at the movies, it's not very wide. But there had to be probably 2 million Israelites, and they had to get through that within that night. So that was a large area of water space that was brought up and moved to the side, and the area was dried out. And Israel saw this happening. There was light on their side. Israel knew what was happening, the people of Israel, but Egypt didn't. They were separated away. They were in darkness. In verse 22, it says, so the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Verse 24, now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. Verse 25, and he took off their chariot wheels. God's got humor. So that they drove them with difficulty. Another translation says they bogged down. It wasn't easy to move them on this path through the Red Sea. And then God allows the water to collapse on them, and the Egyptian army is taken away in one fell swoop. You know, but that isn't the end of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Often we look at that incident as being kind of the story of the pillar. But as we will see, it continues on for 40 years. Let's go to Exodus 40. Exodus 40. And we can see that this pillar of fire and cloud continued to lead Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. In Exodus 40, we see that Israel here is setting up this tabernacle that God wanted to be in the midst of them, so God could live within the midst of the camp of Israel. God gave instructions on exactly how this was supposed to be built, this tabernacle, and it appears to have taken 6 to 9 months of preparation. God even gave special abilities to the craftsmen and crafts ladies to be able to build this. And so you can imagine the excitement that's happening as this is beginning to be built, and then when it comes to the point where they're going to actually set it up. Exodus 40, verse 34, we see this, the setting up of this. It's been set up, this tabernacle has been set up, and then it says, then the cloud, that's that pillar of cloud that's been with Israel ever since Exodus, covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Verse 36, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. So God continued leading Israel by the cloud, by that pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Verse 38, for the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night. That same pillar we see continuing on and putting its presence over top of the tabernacle. And fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So throughout the whole time that Israel journeyed, the pillar was with them. It's a miracle that began at Exodus, and it continued until they reached the promised land. And for 40 years, it was a visual presence that showed Israel that God was there with them. God was leading them. God had not abandoned them. That they, Israel, was not lost. What appeared to be wanderings, what we often call wanderings in the wilderness, God led them through it all. And every day they saw the cloud over them, and every night they saw the fire giving them light. So God had actually used fire before, kind of a pillar of fire, if you want to call it. He's done this before. If we go back to Exodus 3, we can see this, because remember, how was Moses called to lead Israel? By a bush that burned and never was consumed. If you remember the story, Moses grew up in Israel or in Egypt, and when he got to be 20 years old, he was basically run out of Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian, and he went out to the land of Midian, and he herded sheep. He was a shepherd. And then God calls him for a reason. Exodus 3, verse 1. And he calls him using a pillar of fire. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord, if you'll notice, that angel is capitalized again, referring to Jesus Christ. That same God, which as we read this, we will see, is identified as the I Am and as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who's in that fire. Continuing, appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. Out of that cloud, or that fire of that bush, we see that Jesus Christ, the one that would become Jesus Christ, made himself evident. He was there in verse 14. He says that he's the great I Am. You know, when God first chose Moses to lead Israel to slavery, he did it through a burning bush. And I wouldn't doubt if when Moses saw the burning pillar in the sky, if it didn't remind him of his calling. And Israel probably had heard stories about the burning bush that was never consumed. And when they saw the pillar of fire that was never consumed, that they never had to put wood to or fuel to, it probably reminded them also of this story of Moses. You know, now what I'd like to do is I'd like to, since we've seen the story, at least this part of the story of the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, let's take a look at four promises. Four promises that God gave through that pillar. He gave to Israel at the time that the pillar existed before them, and he gives the same promises to us today. We'll look at these promises. They're miracles that come from that pillar, represented by that pillar, that we can use in our life. Just as Israel went through the physical wilderness, we can use these promises in our spiritual wilderness. The first promise was the promise of protection. The pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud contained the promise of protection for Israel. God was saying, I will protect you. We saw that when Israel was camped by the Red Sea, and God used that pillar to separate Israel and Egypt and put that buffer between them to protect Israel from the Egyptian army. And it also gave light to the Israelites, and it put those Egyptians in darkness. Again, part of the protection, Israel could continue on with its life, taking care of things it needed to do, whereas Egypt was in darkness. Let's go to Deuteronomy 9. Because you got to remember, this time that we're talking about here would have been a full moon. It would have been right around the full moon. There would have been a easy way to have been able, without even having fire around, to have done what they needed to do. But with that darkness, they probably couldn't see that well. It's quite possible the moon was covered up and they couldn't even go about their normal business. Deuteronomy 9, verse 1. You know, this is long after the Exodus event of the Red Sea. And Israel is about to cross over into the Jordan River, into their promised land. And God encourages Israel, or Moses is encouraging Israel. as they're going to begin conquering the nations of this promised land. Deuteronomy 9, verse 1 says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess or remove nations greater and mightier than yourselves, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of Anakim, whom you know, and of whom you heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak." In verse 3, though, it says, "Therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire." As a consuming fire, Israel again had to be thinking of that pillar of fire, which at this point was still with them. And it says, "He will destroy them and bring them down before you." This consuming fire, this pillar had been with Israel for 40 years. And Moses is telling them, God will continue when you go into the land of Canaan. He'll go before you. You won't see the pillar of fire anymore, but he will be a consuming fire for you to give you protection. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, Moses says this at the very end of his life. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them." That's these nations and peoples in Canaan. "For it is the Lord God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Now we know we've got that in the New Testament. It's something very similar to that. It's told to us. But Moses is saying that God won't leave you, just like the pillar did not leave them. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Because Paul reminds us there, reminds the Thessalonians that they need to trust in God's promise for protection against this world and against wicked men, just like Moses was saying that God will protect Israel as a consuming fire. In 2 Thessalonians verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you." Verse 2, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." Verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." God will guard us. He was our protection, just like that pillar was protection to Israel, and helped God help them as a consuming fire. God can protect us and will protect us from Satan and Satan's fiery darts. But then Paul continues and he tells us that we need to do our part. Verse 4, he says, "And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you." So God will protect us, but we also need to be doing our part. Just like Israel had to cross through those towering, or beside those towering walls of water, we have to cross through and do what we are supposed to do in following God. In Psalm 34, verse 7, the psalmist speaks also of this protection, when it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Just like God encamped with Israel through those pillars, God encamps around us if we fear and obey them, and delivers and protects us. Let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Because Paul speaks here of deliverance also. And he encourages us Christians concerning our Red Sea moments, our difficult moments where we're trapped, where we have trials that are very difficult for us, that he's still protecting us from our enemies. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. So just like God provided a way out and led Israel out through the Red Sea, even though this army was ready to attack them, God provides the same to us today. He provides a way out. He will lead us through his Holy Spirit through the way out. You know, in Revelation 12, verse 13 through 16, Revelation 12, verses 13 through 16, we see a time in the future when God promises that he will protect many of his saints. This is talking about the very end time, a time in front of us at some point here. But there is protection that he will give, just like he gave to Israel coming out of Egypt. Revelation 12, verse 13 says, now when the dragon, that's Satan, saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Verse 14, but the woman, that's talking about God's saints, was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years. This is talking about a time when God will give his spiritual Israel protection in the end time when Satan's wrath comes against us. God will deliver, he will protect. Verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. The Pharaoh thought he had Israel at the Red Sea, at this body of water. Well, Satan's going to spew out water again against the church. But verse 16, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So God is showing us that he will protect us in the future. He'll protect us. That's a promise that he gave to Israel through the pillar, and he gives to us also. Now we understand that there will be those who will have to go through great difficulty and may die in the end. But God will provide for a large percentage of his church a place of protection. A second promise that God gave Israel through the pillar was the promise of guidance. God also gives us that promise. He gave the promise of protection through the pillar, and through the pillar he gives the promise of guidance also. The pillar guided Israel for 40 years. For 40 years through the wilderness, when the pillar raised up and moved, Israel moved. When it sat, it sat. 40 years of wandering, God led them to the promised land. God guided them through that pillar. We read earlier Deuteronomy 31:3, verse 3. But that's where Moses reminds Israel that God leads them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 3, it says, the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. And then in verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes before you. Giving guidance, giving direction, showing the way to go. So even after the pillars were no longer visible, God was still going to go before them. That was a promise. Promise from God. So Moses wanted to remind Israel who leads them. You know, they had followed this pillar. Can you imagine all your life only knowing about a pillar that led you? It told you where to go, when to go, and now Israel was moving into a different part of its life. They were going to become stationary, no longer nomads, no longer told to go, no longer having this pillar to guide them. Moses is telling them that God will still be there with them, still guiding them. God was still going to be shepherding his flock. You know, that's what God is. That's what Jesus Christ is. He's our great shepherd. If we go to John 10, because we are shepherd. We are shepherded by Jesus Christ. John 10, verses 11 through 14. And he is called the Good Shepherd. John 10, verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. So Israel was known to some extent by this cloud that was, or this pillar that was leading them. Now there was this shepherd, Jesus Christ, who was doing that leading. And we see here in John 10, he still leads us. He gives the promise that he still leads us into his Father's kingdom. Jesus Christ is a source of light. You know, that's one thing about that pillar. That pillar of fire, it gave Israel light. It gave Israel light so they could even travel at night. You know, who is our light? Who's the light to our path? Who's the pillar of light to our path? Gives us direction. John 8, verse 12 says, I, talking of Jesus Christ, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Israel did not walk in darkness. They walked in the light of the pillar. And we are told to do the same thing. If we follow Jesus Christ, we are promised that we will never walk in darkness. John, 1 John 1, 5, the Apostle John repeats something similar to this. 1 John 1, 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So God is our pillar of fire. He gives us light and guidance and guides us along our way and shows us the path that we should take. You know, when we look forward into the future, when we look at what New Jerusalem is like, remember what it says about New Jerusalem. It doesn't need a sun or a moon because the light is going to come from the glory of the Lord. That glory of the Lord is the same glory that we saw in the tabernacle and we see in the pillar of fire. A third promise that the pillar of life, pillar of fire and pillar of cloud gave to Israel was God was telling them that he was going to care for them. God was going to care for them. The pillar wasn't just about protection. It wasn't just about guidance. But it was also about care, about love, about concern, about a desire to help. You know, some Bible scholars, when they read about the pillar of cloud, some Bible scholars feel that that cloud brought shade to them in the hot desert. That they normally would have been out in the middle of the hot desert, but this cloud brought shade to them, dropped the temperature. As you know, when you have a cloud go over top of you, the temperature can drop by several degrees. Well, it appears that the cloud caused it to be cooler for Israel. These same scholars indicate or seem to think that it's quite possible that on cold nights, the pillar of fire may have given Israel warmth to help them in the cold. You know, and there's actually evidence of this in the Bible. Let's go to Psalms 105. Psalms 105. We'll read verses 37 through verse 39. And this section of this psalm talks about the exodus of Egypt, exodus from Egypt of Israel. Psalms 105, verse 37, it says, "He also brought them out with silver and gold." Israel had spoiled the Egyptians before they came out. "And there was none feeble among his tribes." Verse 38, "Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them." And then verse 39, "He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night." He spread a cloud for a covering. This cloud may have caused the temperatures to be able to be lessened during the intense heat of the summer. God cared enough for Israel. He could have let them suffer with the heat. But it appears from Psalms 105 that he spread a cloud of covering. He cared for Israel and wanted to help them and make their life at least a little bit easier, so they wouldn't have the intense heat. You know, when we read, let's go back to Exodus 14, verse 24. Because there's something interesting. We've read this before. There's something interesting when we read about this cloud. Exodus 14. This is the morning after the pillar of fire had separated Israel and Egypt. And God opens the Red Sea and provides this path of escape for the Israelites. And then we see in Exodus 14, verse 24, it says, "Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians." It appears that God looked through this pillar down at what was happening on the Egyptian side and saw what he needed to do. So God was looking to see what Israel's needs were in moments of trial and moments of trouble. That pillar shows us that God looks for our needs, desires to help us in our needs, cares for us, just as he cared for Israel at that time and that moment. Luke 12, verse 24, we see that God does this today. Luke 12, verse 24. Luke 12, verse 24. It says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" God cares for us. He looks down through that pillar and cares for us. God knows our needs even before we ask about them. You know, the last promise that we'll talk about from this pillar was that through this pillar and by this pillar, God promised to be faithful. God promised to be faithful. Through that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud, God promised to be faithful. He not only promised that he would protect them, that he would guide them, that he would care for them, but he also said, "I will be faithful." No matter what Israel did, God was still there. That pillar was still there. We read this already, but in Exodus 13, verse 22, it says, "Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." That pillar was consistent. It was faithful. For 40 years, it was faithful. How many times did Israel go astray? How many times did Israel worship pagan gods? How many times was Israel caught up in idolatry? How many times did Israel go after foreign women? How many times did Israel disobey God? How many times did those pillars leave? None. Through it all, the pillar still remained. You know, it reminds us, God reminds us of this faithfulness in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. God will never forsake us. He will always be there. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation or your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That goes back to his care, his help for us, his desire to help us. And I will not fear what man shall do to me. Going back to protection. God says he will never forsake us. He will always be there. If we sin, if we fall short, God is still there. The pillar is still there. We need to repent and come back to God. But he never leaves us. Let's go over to Nehemiah 9. For 40 years, God never abandoned Israel. Nehemiah 9. We'll read verses 12 through 19. Because here we see a reference to these pillars and God never leaving. All the way over here in Nehemiah. Many, many, many years after Israel came into the land of Canaan. Nehemiah 9, verse 12. Moreover, talking of God, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road that they should travel. You know, isn't that awfully nice of God? They didn't have to have their lit torches and their torches always going out and having to relight them and all this. Well, God gave them a pillar of fire to light the way by night when they can travel in the cool. Then verse 13, you came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Verse 15, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, the manna, and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst and told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. You know, God did a lot of good things for Israel, helped them. But then when we get to verse 16, we see how Israel responded. Verse 16, but they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their heart, their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders, one of which were those pillars that God never left. God never took away that you did among them, but they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage back to Egypt. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. God was faithful. Verse 18, even when they made a molten calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt and worked great provocations. Even though they did this, God never forsook them. Verse 19, yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, to show them light and the way that they should go. So even though Israel did horrible things and hardened their necks and were rebellious, God never left them. That was a promise. Those pillars were always there. They could look at any time, day or night, through 40 years, and say, God is with us. And God will always be with us also. He has His pillar of fire and His pillar of cloud before us spiritually through the Holy Spirit. He'll always be faithful. So that brings us to a question, though, that we'll end with today. And that's, are we ignoring the pillars? Are we ignoring the pillars and the promises that the pillars brought to us? Are we ignoring those in our life? You know, I was once watching this debate between a well-known atheist and a Christian. And the Christian asked the atheist, what would it take to believe in God? And the atheist's response I found rather interesting. The atheist replied that if God wrote my name in the stars so I could see my name up in heaven, I would believe He exists. And then he said, well, I still don't know if I would. You know, Israel was kind of like that. Israel saw this pillar of fire and this pillar of cloud written in the sky. And they too often dismissed God. Didn't believe He really was leading them, protecting them, guiding them, caring for them. Over time, Israel became so comfortable with those pillars that it became meaningless. You know, they ignored the signs and allowed them to go astray. God led Israel out of Egypt and into the wilderness by way of a fire and the cloud. I think it's interesting that in Hebrews it talks about that we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. And on Pentecost, what hovered over their heads? It was like flames of fire. You know, God is still here. He's still leading us. You know, the Jews were always asking for a sign. They had the sign. Pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. All the miracles God created in the wilderness, wasn't that a sign? But Jesus left them with one sign. And that's the sign that we see at the time we are in this time of the year, with Passover. His death and His resurrection. It's the only sign He truly left for them. You know, because so many Israelites ignored the meaning and the blessings of this cloud, this pillar, most of them didn't make it to the promised land. Most of them fell short. We need to make sure that we don't ignore the pillars and the promises of the pillars, and that we make sure that we are there at the kingdom, when we can be in that city that doesn't require a sun or a moon, but's lit by the glory of God. We need to make sure that we remember the blessings that God gave to Israel from those pillars, or through that pillar, which He also gives to us. They're always faithful, God the Father and Jesus Christ. That their spiritual fire, the Holy Spirit, might live abundantly within us. And remember these promises that are for us as well as they were to Israel. The promise that He'll protect us. The promise that He'll guide us. The promise that He will care for us. And the promise that He will be faithful to us. All these are promises of the pillar that are given to us. Thank you.